This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Aftermarket Radio Network focused on our communication and leadership skills. And in our episode today, we're talking about storytelling. Friday, last week, my wife Betsy and I drove north in Michigan to Leland. If you hold your right hand out, palm facing you, that is on the tip of the pinky finger on your God-given map of Michigan. Now, this wasn't for a camping trip this time. This was actually for an art show. Like many art shows, the weather was a concern. These events do rely on artists to conduct their business in it by tent outdoors, and it does require the ability to preserve and protect their fine art pieces from all types of weather, which you will experience if you do enough art shows. Now, we had two choices in Leland that weekend. Set up early the day of the event in the rain, or set up Friday night in the early evening in perfect conditions and just secure everything, as we are well prepared and practice in doing, to weather the predicted downpours and thunderstorms that were due to arrive in the early hours of the morning, with chances of that rain lasting till mid-morning. Hey, we knew that to be ready for these early shoppers that often come to these shows, we didn't want to be setting up in the rain and trying to be ready and keep things dry without the tent already established. We needed to be good to go, rain or shine, and so we set up Friday night. We enjoyed a really great dinner at our favorite farm-to-table restaurant up there in Leland, Farm Club. And then we had a good night's rest at our hotel, dreaming of a great day at the show. Well, overnight, the rain did come, as predicted. We heard some rolling thunder as well. And when we arrived at the art tent in the morning, we zipped open the rain covers, and as we predicted, everything looked great until a drip of water passed by my face and I slowly looked up. Uh-oh. Are you hooked? I hope you are, because I'm attempting to apply a simple formula for my story. This formula that I really did just learn this past 2 weeks. I'll explain to you more about that and continue my story throughout this episode. Now, my episode today was inspired by not one, but two recent Toastmaster meetings at my local club, 404, Grand Rapids Toastmasters. We have a new president, Helen Fredette. She has done a great job encouraging members to schedule speeches with a story focus. And even our educational minutes and table topic sessions for our club have leaned heavily into that formula. And it's been repeated enough times now that, yes, I can remember it. Yeah, this has just been a lot of fun. Now, I'll explain this formula in the episode. I want to give you an example of it in action, as I've already started to do. And then I want to invite you to test it out yourself at really your next summer evening with friends or loved ones or team gathering even at work. I'm borrowing from some inspiration from my local club on one thing, the topic in general, but I'm also borrowing a recent word of the day that was used in our club meeting. That word is gregarious. And I'll explain the definition of that word after we hear a word from our sponsors who make this show possible. Ready to reduce stress and start paying yourself and your team well? Achieve your goals with the Institute's personalized coaching. Visit weareintheinstitute.com/business-assessment. Your partner in technology, Autoflow is able to enhance your client interactions before, during, and after the visit from a single thread. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Your trusted companion, Shop Dog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call Shop Dog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Cover your communication need and revolutionize your auto repair business with AI-driven call analytics from Inbound. Explore more at callinbound.com. Okay, we're back. The word of the day is gregarious. It is an adjective, and there's actually three different versions of this word, but for a person relating to people, it means fond of company or sociable. I always thought it meant happy, and this was discussed in our club when this was introduced to. It always meant like cheerful and outgoing, and I guess when you're fond of company, you will be, but gregarious just simply means fond of company or sociable, unless you're an animal, when it can mean living in a flock of loosely organized communities or of plants growing in open clusters. I'll stick with the human version of the word. Now, before I get back to my story with the art show, let's talk about the art of storytelling. It really is an ancient skill. Before holy scriptures, or for that matter, digitized automotive repair procedures, which might also be sacred to my friends in the automotive aftermarket, there was only verbal language to describe important lessons or share experience to be remembered best. This wasn't just done through listing details or complex instructions. Things are best remembered by being experienced through a story, whether you're listening or telling it, in fact. As any parent knows, eventually you'll have read all of the bedtime stories to your kids, and the day will come when it's up to you, just you, to tell a story. My kids still remember the stories I would tell, and I think now that they're older, they also know where I borrowed some of them from. But maybe you're not a parent just yet, but it's already apparent to you that when you have a story to tell, you get lost, and so does your audience. No matter the situation you find yourself in, storytelling is one of, I think, the most important things we can do to create shared experiences as humans. They help us understand each other, connect with one another, and even learn to empathize or identify with others. Now, whether it's for business, for humor, or for a moral lesson, a good story is easier for any human audience to focus on and listen to and retain information from. And all of this makes stories a very powerful tool in your communication toolbox. If you are like me, ancient skills feel long forgotten when you're put on the spot to tell a story. A million things rush through your mind, and what gets spoken often comes out of context, missing details, or it's just outright confusing. That's why this formula is going to be helpful. Here is the formula. It starts with a mnemonic, L-A. Helen, our club president, suggested we remember this mnemonic by saying, the story starts in Los Angeles, because L.A. stands for location and action. And there's been some of that in Los Angeles, so it really, really sticks, really works right now. So we'll stick with that. Location and action. These are two key ingredients for the story. Next is want, then obstacle, then resolution. So location, action, want, obstacle, resolution. This will be in the show notes for you. If you can't remember it here, just listening, take a look at the show notes here. Now, in my introduction and my story for this episode, I've already established the location and the action and the want. Remember what they are. Pull out your map of Michigan again. Yep, the pinky finger, Leland. It's amazing, guys. Fly into Traverse City, Michigan, and you're nearly there. This is probably about a 20-minute drive from Traverse City. Absolutely gorgeous part of our state. Leland was the location. What's the action? Easy. Art show and some forecasted rain. The want? I'll explain it if it wasn't already clear in the context. The fine artwork my wife has created, we want that to be dry and safe so it can sell. That is why we're there. So what about the obstacle and the resolution? Well, that's exactly where we left off, isn't it? Now, pay attention as I introduce an obstacle and a resolution as I continue the story. Imagine taking on each day with a team that cares about doing more. They're motivated, skilled, humble, and hungry. They're invested in your shop's success because that success helps them do more than just sell jobs and fix cars. At the Institute, we believe a thriving business is built on its people. Our comprehensive coaching and peer groups help you become a leader who is capable. Capable of inspiring your employees to reach new heights, capable to deliver exceptional customer service, and capable to grow your business into a respected pillar of your community. Start your legacy at weareTheInstitute.com/business-assessment. It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from Autoflow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen. Clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using Autoflow. With Autoflow's automated text updates, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit autoflow.com. Looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Trust ShopDog Marketing to be your reliable companion with AI-powered customer-first marketing, websites, and high-ranking local search. Maximize your reach with our mobile-first and voice search expertise. Car counts are like ice cream. Sweeten your revenue with ShopDog Marketing. Grab our free guide to learn how AI can drive more repair orders every day. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Every professional auto repair shop needs a trusted communication partner. At Inbound, our established VoIP platform is backed by years of industry experience, guarantees reliable connections, and is combined with cutting-edge AI-powered analytics. We deliver actionable insights that support your business growth. With Inbound, you get more than just calls. You get a smarter, more efficient operation. Get Inbound on your team today and see how we can transform your business. Visit callinbound.com. We heard rain and thunder overnight, and actually we drove through quite a downpour on our way to our tent that morning. The rain tapered off completely, though, during that short drive, and more dry but still cloudy conditions were really upon us by the time we arrived, and the radar looked clear. This is good. So Betsy and I walked to the tent after parking, and she greeted several of her artist friends. All of them are cheerful, wonderful people. Some were frantically completing their setups. And of course, we continued on our way to our own tent to finish our preparation. And when we arrived at our own tent, standing firmly and fully intact, thankfully, we unzipped the sides, looked around, and were happy to see only a few signs of water intruding in the tent. I was feeling really good about it when a drip of water passed by my face. And I slowly looked up, and the roof of the tent has slightly caved and accumulated several gallons of water on the top. It looked like a massive air bubble, like you could almost just poke at it and pop it. You wouldn't want to do that. This is water. And the barely permeable material of the tent's roof was permitting some water to actually drip through. Fortunately, not on any paintings or prints yet. I looked, and there was another quarter of the tent top that had a similar issue, although a little bit less severe. Now, the rain had stopped, but it was necessary quickly before people arrived to remove the water from the tent's roof and then shore things up in case of more rain. There's still a chance of that throughout the day, really the next couple hours at least. Well, I'm tall enough to reach the bottom of that water bulge. My hands alone would only suffice to push the water from one area to another, not enough to push it over the edge of the tent is what I would need to do. I looked around and I saw the large plastic bins that my wife uses to transport and secure her artwork. And those are sitting empty right now since the art is hung and on the wall. But I saw that lid there. And as I put my rain jacket on, I asked Betsy to hand me one of those lids. Great idea, right? So I'll use this large plastic bin's lid, my height, and my long arms to carefully, slowly push the water over the top rail of the tent, relieve the water's weight, and then re-secure the tautness of that roof, and this crisis will be averted. And that is exactly what happened. For a moment, as I pressed the lid against the water, the process began to work. Gradually, some of the water was spilling harmlessly on the outside of the tent onto the grass. This was working. When suddenly, with no warning, it sounded like a giant water balloon burst right in my face. Water spilled across the entire front of my body. In an instant, I felt soaked and confused about what the heck had just happened. I looked up and the corner of the tent had slipped out over the corner bracing and the tent's roof had caved in, allowing that corner of the roof to spill atop me. And while it really was fortunate that it spilled on me. I had put my rain jacket on as a precaution. I had failed to zip it, however, so just wet on the front. All I could do was chuckle, which relieved the shocked look on my wife's face, who had now really the most comical view to my most recent lesson in physics. But the good news is it spilled on me, not on the art. The story's not over. With the sky growing dark, we now had to refasten the tent, clear more water, and set up another awning on the front of the tent. And sure enough, as the first people started to wander into the show, another downpour came. My wife's like, it's getting darker. Is it going to rain? I'm looking on the radar map, nothing on it. But sure enough, it did in fact start to rain. Now, using two poles, these long plastic poles, and the pockets of my now zipped rain jacket, I was able to use these poles to keep the top of the tent taut during the duration of the downpour. But I had to remain fixed for the duration of the downpour, soggy, but securing the weak areas of the tent roof. Now, not an ideal start to any show at all. And I do have a rather comical picture of it on the show notes here if you want to get a good chuckle out of this. But hey, I must have been doing a great job working now as a fixture of the tent, because even though the show wasn't open, two early shoppers did decide to walk into the tent, one carrying a conversation with me like a deluge wasn't happening outside, and another lady actually took a phone call behind me while I'm standing there with these two poles keeping water from building up on the roof. Goodness. I'll say this. The last of the rain did leave the area. A great day followed, and we only weathered the loss of one small placeholder painting, and not an original painting at that. It was a printed painting. Those originals are really valuable, so we were happy not to lose those. But hey, thanks to the moisture wicking clothing I've learned to wear while rucking, as I do for my fitness regimens in many weather conditions, I was dry in no time, as well as everything else. So hey, I hope you saw how the obstacle and resolution and another obstacle and another resolution were applied to round out that story formula on my recent weekend adventures. I also hope you enjoyed a bit of a laugh along with my wife at my expense. And next time you have a story to tell, remember the formula: location, action, want, obstacle, resolution. Do you have something to add, something you're more curious about, or other storytelling ideas, formulas, or prompts that you need to hear? Go ahead and email me a question. Email me here at speakup@craigoneal.net. And I'd also be ever eager to hear any topics that would be helpful for you on your communication journey, be it in the shop or out there doing whatever you're doing in this wonderful, beautiful world, especially if it's beautiful Michigan. And hey, remember to listen up to the other shows on the Aftermarket Radio Network. We have Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriato, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonslow. I was thinking of him when I made that little quip about digitized repair procedures, which we desperately want our technicians in our industry today to read before they do things. Thank you, Matt, for that wonderful advice, and I hope you enjoyed the joke. Business by the Numbers, Hunt Demarest, Auto Repair Marketing Podcast, Brian and Kim Walker, and of course, we have the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. And hey, once again, thank you to all of our sponsors who make this show possible. Thank you, our loyal listeners, for joining us. For those who are catching this recording online or watching the YouTube channel, I encourage you now, get out there, listen up, speak up, tell a story.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Craig on your favorite podcast listening app and on his YouTube channel. Let him know what you'd like him to speak up about. Craig is all for advancing the automotive service aftermarket.